morning. I won't be lengthy, I don't imagine. But I'm going to preach on belief. Believe or believe in. John 3:16, and we're going to, after I do this, we're going to pray, and I got a special prayer need. I want you to help me in this atmosphere of the miraculous right now, a strong presence. We got a young man I want us to lift up that needs deliverance, that needs a touch in his life. The Word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life." Father, bless the reading of the Word, the preaching of the Word. Lord, let there be a reception of the Word in this place this morning. Father, we stop and say thank you for your presence. You're moving in this place. And Father, I want to lift that young man up as the body of Christ agrees together for deliverance, for overcoming power, Lord God, for that family, Lord God. We bind together as the people of God. Pray like it's your son. Pray like it's your daughter, your child, your mom, your brother or sister. God, move, Lord God. Loose the bands. Break, let there be the chains fall off, God. Restore and reconcile all things in right order back to you. And we'll praise you. And everybody said, amen and amen. If you believe that prayer, you say amen as you're seated. God bless you. My goodness, my. You can leave right now and say, we had church in this place. Come on here. You can leave right now and say, I've been in church. Amen. It ain't cause you here. It ain't cause I'm here. It's not cause these musicians. It's because God is honoring his people this morning. And I tell you, if we'll bless him and praise him, when the praises go up, the glory will come down. Amen. If you believe it, say amen. Let's look at this scripture. I want to look at this word, believeth in him. We want to talk for a little while about the difference between merely acknowledging that we believe in God and truly believing in him. Come on, there is a difference. And I hope those that are here listening to me and those that are watching and will be listening later, that you'll have a clear understanding that there's a difference between a mental assent and say that you believe God or believe about God or believe that God is who he says he is, and a difference between believing in him and putting your trust and your faith and your life in his hands. Would somebody say amen? See, you understand, and I'll get to the scripture in just a moment in 2 Corinthians. Don't go there yet, brother. But God has made us new when we got born again. He did not improve us from what we were. He made us new. There is a difference. Now, will you improve when you're made new? Absolutely you will. But God, when God saves a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, and they put their faith, their trust, their assurance, and their hope in him, they just don't become an improved version of the old self. Did you hear what I said? God didn't send his son Jesus to die on the cross so that you could do a little better. God sent his son Jesus so that you could be a new creation in him. There is a difference. This is not about self-help. This is, you don't serve the Lord to become a better person. You become a new person. And by virtue of being a new person, you'll be a better person. Come on, help me now for a little while. God didn't save you and to make a better version of you. If you get truly saved and become a new creation in Christ, it will be a better version of you. God didn't save you to become a better version of yourself. He saved you that you would become a completely new creation in him. I'm laying a foundation because I'm telling you the old you didn't need improving. The old new you didn't need a new version. The old you, amen, needed baptism in the spirit. The old you needed a reborn spirit, man. Come on here. You got nothing you can do to improve on yourself and to make you a better version will make you acceptable in the sight of God. You can start eating better, and you can get healthier, and you can live longer by virtue of you living healthy. Can I tell you, he'll still die and go to hell if you don't know him? You must be born again. He didn't say you need to be a better version of yourself or to improve yourself. He said you must be born again. Thank God for the new birth. God didn't. You ain't gonna become an update. Get an update. About you, I get them notifications on my phone all the time. We need to update your phone. Well, bless your heart. We can't do it right now, it says, because you ain't plugged in to a power source. You got to plug it in later on in the middle of the night and put it on the battery charger, and it'll update. And you in the morning, y'all know what I'm talking about. You'll get a notification. Your phone has been successfully updated. Hey, let me tell you right now, God ain't updating you. Amen. Glory to God. When you get saved, you become a new creation in Christ, and you're always plugged in to the power of the Most High God. I've come by to tell somebody. Nicodemus said, what must I do? Jesus said, you must be born again. God didn't call you to be an upgraded version of yourself. Every time I call the cell phone company, need to find out something. It's hard to figure out when you change your phone. Well, Apple, the iPhone 13 BEY is ready. Dude, would you like to upgrade your phone? I said, no, I'm going to keep the one I got. I'd like to keep it a little while and enjoy it. See, people think they come in here and God, you know, we hear all this sugary preaching that God loves you just like you are, and he does, but he ain't keeping you like you are. He's not looking to update you, upgrade you, make a better version of you, amen. He's trying to get you born again, amen. The old man is a sinful, fallen creation that is cursed and is on his way to hell, but the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, washes us white as snow and cleanses us up. Not looking an upgraded version, an updated, a better version, an improved version. God said, I'm saying to you that I'm going to create in you a new creation. See, what God does is God, when we get saved, God places in us a desire to serve him and to live for him. Come on, people. This is not a part-time gig. There is no such thing as a part-time Christian. My God, we're living in the last day. We just had a great Supreme Court victory, and that we do celebrate. But it has enraged millions of people across America that are enraged, demonically inspired, because we stand for what is right and what is holy and what is pure and what is just and what is lovely, the righteousness of God. These people despise. Listen, if we're going to live for God, we don't need to be an upgrade, an update. Amen. We need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, born again, amen, able to stand flat-footed and face whatever the devil brings, amen, because somebody said it a while ago, the Lord's not coming back for a weak, impotent church. He's coming back for a glorious church. Come on, somebody, without spot, without wrinkle, amen, walking in the anointing and power. Woo! I didn't feel so good, I'd jump a pew. Our minds are renewed when we become born again. We got to remember that you don't think the same way the old man thought. I was a long-haired, Harley Davidson riding, dope-smoking, liberal hippie. I did, didn't I? I don't think I ever told y'all that, did I? I got the pictures. But when the Lord saved me over 30 years ago, that long-haired, dope-smoking, Harley-riding man died. God changed. My mind is renewed. Come on, somebody. I got a short haircut, amen. I put me on some khaki pants. I walked into the house of God. I said, I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free. Thank him. Hallelujah. And I've lived for the Lord these last 30 years, and I've sold out for him. I'm going to go out blazing, amen. I've come too far to turn back now. I know y'all don't believe that. Not sweet Brother Bateman. See, it's not an upgrade. It's not a new version. It's not an update. It's a new creation. Come on here now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Bring it up, brother. I've got to go here. Our minds are renewed. Our outlooks and perspectives change. Everything is different. Come on here. I didn't want the things of this world. The things that used to excite me and to be a part of, I didn't want any more of it. Brother Mike, we from the hill, ain't we, brother? We are. Him and I come from the same neck of the wood. A rough bunch around there, won't it, brother? Brother Mike was a little bit rough around the edges too there one time. I better be careful here. But here he is. So when I come to Alley Good 5 years ago, look over there, there's Brother Mike Tyson from the hill, amen. But the old Mike is dead and the new Mike is alive and serving God, amen. I've come by to tell somebody the old man dies. We get a new perspective, a new heart, a new mind. We put on the mind of Christ. So here he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Listen to me here. Now, I'm going to help somebody here today, either here or listening. He is a new creature. Old Gary's dead. The old Mike is dead. The old Larry is dead. The old Sister Yvonne is dead. The old Kenny is dead. Come on here. You become something new, not an upgrade, not a better version, not an updated Gary Bateman or Kenny Pitch or Larry Woodard. You are a new creation in Christ. Can I tell you, if you listen to me, this sounds hard, but you better hear me. If you can't go back to a certain place and time where you had a radical transformation, you better go back and check yourself. You better know that there was a time in the past, amen, that you became, the old man died and the new man came alive. Psalm 30, let me read this first. Old things are passed away. I know you used to talk about everybody and their brother. Woo! Some of y'all, God's still working on some of you. But that man, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's new. You don't talk about people no more. You don't lie no more. Come on here. Hey, listen, none of us live perfect lives. We've all, and if you've lived long enough for the Lord, some of you young people hear me, and young in the Lord, you'll mess up from time to time. But thanks God, you just go back. You have an advocate with the Father. You go back, you plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You repent, you get it behind you, and you keep moving forward. That's good preaching. But that old man's supposed to die. You had an anger problem, then you used to have an anger problem. It's getting quiet now. This is the book. He said he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Here we go now, what I just spent the last 10 minutes on. Behold, all things are become new. Not an upgrade. Not an updated, not a newer, cleaner version of you, not a healthier, slimmer. You can go get it nipped and tucked. You can get a facelift. You can go get a surgery and get weight pulled off of you, whatever, and you looking good and you talking good and you sounding good. But if the blood of the Lamb has not been applied, you're still dead in your sins. But I tell you today that if you give your life to the Lord, behold, you're a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 37 and 4. The Bible said we have new desires. See, I want to be in the Lord's house. I want to do things for God. I want to tell somebody about Jesus. I told you a couple of weeks ago, we sing these songs. That song was what? Written in 1909? That won't yesterday. You know why it still stirs us? Because the God of heaven stirs us. He's got something now to work with. A 1909 hymn didn't mean a thing to me pre-conversion. But here I am now, after serving the Lord over these 30 years, when I hear those songs, something moves inside of me, because the new man is looking for a new day on the other side of life. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The Lord will give you a new delight. And then the Bible said he'll give thee the desires of a heart. I'm going to move on. God will give us an appetite for the things of God. Your will is surrendered to his will. One of the greatest misconceptions, I believe, in Christianity, is that you can still live your life the way you want to and still be a Christian. Honey, when you die, you're dead. You're just a walking dead man or woman. Your will is surrendered, your emotions, your mind, everything. You're a slave to the Lord. Anybody ever heard, I've been bought with a price? Not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm a slave to him. My will is surrendered to him. See, there's a difference, and I'm not trying to hurry, but I am. I'm conscious of the time, so everybody okay? Just hang in here. There's a difference between a relationship and religion. A religion says, I go to church, therefore I believe in God. A relationship says, I am the church. Uh-huh. A relationship, being born again, it's not about religion or tradition. Being born again is about a relationship with the Lord. It's kind of like a marriage. You know, people, when I've married a bunch of people over the years, and I've been to a lot of weddings, we all have. Do you realize that most people get married in a church and in front of a preacher and witnesses? And you know what they do? They make a vow. I'm not being critical. Things happen. Divorces probably affected every family in here, so I'm not being critical. But they come before a preacher in a church. Not everybody gets married in a church, I understand. But they get before the preacher, witnesses, their own families, and God in heaven, and they promise everybody there, till death do us part. And y'all didn't hear that. That's what they do. Brother James, how long were y'all married? 74 years. Wow. Wow. His wife told me, we never argue. And I believe him. Me and my wife, we don't say that. I believe you ain't going to find a sweeter man than that man right there. I don't think I've ever met a sweetest man as that man. But I can tell you this, that Brother James, in 74 years of marriage, after he left the wedding ceremony, he just didn't say, well, I'll see you on Sunday. Maybe Wednesday. And then he went out and lived the rest of his life the way he wanted to live, and then just included Sister Doris when he felt like it. Come on here. That's not how a marriage or relationship really works. Y'all hear me? Come on, just a little bit longer. And it's kind of the way we do the Lord. We come down here and we promise the world, and then we go out and live the way we want to live. Come on, somebody. Listen to me. They ain't helping me in here. So y'all help me out there online. Relationship is intentional. Now, I got a story. I thought my wife might have been working in the back this morning. I'm sorry, honey. Now, her and I, we got a great marriage, a great relationship. She'll tell you that too. We have a strong marriage, and I thank God for that. It's intentional because we work on it. Did you hear what I said? We work on it. I vowed, I promised God, this is my wife, I'm going to, till the day I die. Well, I'm not big on Christmas, okay? You know why? Because I tell the kids when they're growing up, I say, what are we going to do for Christmas? I said, well, it's the Lord's birthday, what are you talking about? It's okay if you, when me and Kim were courting, she had a Christmas tree in every room. two in the kitchen. So we compromise. I compromise. It won't worth fighting. That battle was, you know, you pick your battles. So anyway, we've been together for years, and I forgot to get her something for Christmas. And it's New Year's Eve day, not night, day. It's still daytime. So I go into Walmart. I got a list of stuff that she wanted, and I said, well, I'll do something. And so I get it. It's Christmas Eve day, y'all. Anybody been to Walmart on Christmas Eve day? So I come in, I sneak it into the closet, and I forget about it again. So it's Christmas Day. We're opening gifts. Kim's got me 10 or 15. They're beautifully wrapped. They got bows and, oh, you know, all kinds of paper on it, that stuff I like, you know. Annika's got all her stuff, and it's just a glorious time. And Kim says, well, where's my from you? I said, oh, yeah. And so I go into the closet, and I grab that blue Walmart bag, and I bring it to her. Merry Christmas. And she said, are you serious? I'm in trouble, y'all. And to this day, she hasn't forgotten it. And I apologize profusely. I'll do better next year, and I did a little better. But she said something that I can use this morning, years ago after this. Annika was very small. She said, it's all right, she says, because you are good to me all year long. That's intentional. That's intentional. Come on here. Now, what we got to understand is when we get in a relationship with the Lord, we have to be intentional in the way we serve Him. As Brother Toole was instructing us and encouraging us, you got to go deeper in your prayer life. You got to get deeper in the Word. You got to get deeper about serving God in ministry and coming to church. And so, come on here. You're not a part-time Christian. See, first of all, I'm a Christian first before I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian and a husband. I'm a Christian and a father. I'm a Christian and a brother. I'm a Christian and a brother and sister. I'm a Christian and a son. A Christian and, I don't add stuff on to Christianity. I'm a Christian first. See, some people say, well, I'm this and then I'm a Christian. No, you got to put Christ first. He's not an add-on. Christianity becomes, being a born again becomes the sum total of who we are. Somebody said, that's too radical. Well, it is radical. How many of you? Come on here. It's radical. I'll close with this. So either we believe or we believe in. This word believe in John 3:16 is a deep word. It means to trust in, to have faith in, to have hope in. It's more than just a mental assent. I talk to people, you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Never darken the door, never pray, never read, never study, never do anything in service for the Lord, but you believe in God. Well, bless your heart. That's not what I'm asking. Do you believe in Him? Have you trusted Him? Is your assurance in Him? Are you born again? Do you have an experience that you can point to and say, that's the day I got saved, radically changed? There's a difference between an awareness of God and a personal relationship with God. I'm going to prove it to you and then we'll close. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. Did you hear what I said? The devils believe and they tremble. I run into people all the time. I believe in God. Where do you go to church? You ain't got to go to church. See him come out of the liquor store. Brother Bateman, you preach against drinking, you better believe it. I didn't get but one or two amens. Y'all got me worried now. Y'all got me worried. The devils believe. There's no hope for a devil. There's hope for us. If you'd have asked me before I got saved, back when I was in the world, and I grew up in church. I was a Christian as a teenager for a little while, and I left the church, and that's when I got out there so far in left field. But if you'd have asked me when I was out in the world as a young man in my 20s, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? I said, yeah, of course I do. I was raised up. I knew God was real. There's a difference between being aware of God and being in a relationship with God. The devils believe and they tremble. There has to be a connection with God. There has to be a radical new life. That's what you can truly say that you're born again, that you are sold out to the Lord. Sister Ellen, if you'll come. I want you to stand. I'm going to close. I'm going to stop there. Help me out, buddy. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We've got some people that want to be prayed for, anointed with oil and laid hands on. We're going to do that. But before we do that, I want you to bow your heads.